for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking summer and the hot weather and vacation and swimming, plus your calls and emails. Topics include, so your body has a habit of tensing up during sex, so much so you can't achieve orgasm. So what do? You still love your partner, but have never been happy in the relationship. Here's how to know when it's time to leave. And finally, how to have sex when the kids are always around, because hey, mommy and daddy need their special time too. All this and more. Thanks for listening. Anyone in a relationship should communicate more, but one of the most important things you should absolutely be talking about is using more lube in the bedroom. You know I'm all about lube. That's why I want to tell you guys about Pure Lube, because okay, it is seriously next level. I've been obsessed with this brand for years. I'm a huge fan, which is why I'm so excited to be working with them. They have a ton of different formulas that are great for either exploring a new toy and making sure time with your partner is just that much more pleasurable. Pure's original formula lets you feel much more touch and sensation. It even works great as a massage gel, or check out their Aqua water-based lube, which is super moisturizing and gets completely absorbed into your skin, leaving you feeling so silky and smooth. It's just, you love it. You don't have to wash it off. It's not like sticky. But the best part, their products all use medical-grade ingredients and are completely hypoallergenic. So get that conversation started and bring Pure Lube into the bedroom. To try Pure for yourself, go to sexwithemily.com/pure. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/PJUR today.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out our website, and you can subscribe to our podcast. We release 3 podcasts a week. You can also find me on SiriusXM Radio. It's on Stars Channel 109, and I am there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. Ooh, I love it. You guys should definitely listen and tune into the show. You can get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM, or you can just call us during those times, 888-947-8277. As always, you can find me on all social media. It is at Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy the show. Summer is upon us all year long. I think a lot of us, we look forward to summer and the hot weather and vacation and swimming. And it's kind of sex. Summer is a sexy time. So it really sexy is. We're in bathing suits, you know, we're naked more. And we're showing less clothing, more skin. And so I was like, God, I've got so many things to share with you guys to make it sexier. This is going to be your sexiest summer yet. If you're here with me, that's Sex with Emily. Jamie's out sick tonight, but as a result, we miss her. We've got my whole team here, and we're all here. We've got Michelle, Kristen, Alisa. There she is. Okay, so this is, oh, God. Okay, so I started thinking, okay, well, this is the time where I got to gear up my important sex information for you. For example, I know that having sex in water, any water, or on the beach, you know, summertime, is such an exciting fantasy for many people. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've had some hot times, like, on the beach. I remember fooling around with a boyfriend, not having sex. When I was, like, 15 in a hot tub. My mom caught me. She's like, where are you? And I was like, I'm coming home soon. No. And then he had to drive me home when I was all wet. She still reminds me of this day. Like, I was like, nowhere, Mom. I'm studying. But, like, I'm wet and there's water dripping. I remember swimming around in his hot tub and, you know, just sexy vacations, running in the waves. And I think there's just something about the water that is, it's just, it's sexy, it's freeing, mm-hmm. it's thrilling. And seeing someone maybe in their bathing suit for a while that you haven't seen, and it's just liberating. Like when you're in the water, you're just like, I can totally let go.
Well, I bet it was a lot more exhilarating for you in Michigan because, you know, your seasons, that's you're like true. Bundled up. So when you're able to show that skin and yeah. run into some waves and just like...
Psh, yeah, just do it. And like, yeah, you've... Yes. Free. It was amazing. In a way, I sort of... That's maybe one of the only things I miss. But you have the seasons more so. And I miss my family. But you'd be like really, you know, it's not like here. It's like kind of always summer. Mm-hmm. And we're a little annoyed that there's June gloom thing. But ultimately, it's like 70 degrees by noon. We're fine.
But yeah, also, I mean, the sounds that you were talking about earlier. Just the sound of splashing around in the water and the weightlessness.
You know exactly. You're like weightless. You know how I always talk about your senses? When your senses are fully engaged, it's like that's a truly erotic moment and can also be what makes incredible sex. And anything that heightens your senses. So in water, you're weightless. You can pick up your partner. You can carry each other. You can swim together. And then the sounds of the water and the smell of the ocean or the sea, whatever water you're in, it could even be a shower. And then like the feel of your partner's skin. I mean, it's really all, and you're not distracted when you're in water with your partner. Like you are fully present. I think we can all remember times splashing around with a lover somewhere. Mm-hmm. Right? And even if it's for a moment in time, you just know it was like it's inherently romantic and sexy.
Everybody loves it. You've just painted an amazing picture.
I know.
For
it
me.
Kind of turned
like in it.
Into
an
erotica in my mind. I was right? like, that would be really hot. Like, I know. If you were to write an erotica about being weightless and.
Weightless and thrilling and liberating. So I know. I guess that is some inspiration for everyone this summer. However, there are some things you need to know about having sex in water that can be potentially risky. So I'm going to also give you alternatives, though. I'm not going to be your sexy summer buzzkill at all. I'm just saying, coming upon the solstice, let's talk about some things that could happen and where to take some turns, make some changes. So what I want you to know is that not all water is created equal. So I still want you, all of you, to embrace that feeling of flapping around in the water and being weightless. However, like standing bodies of water, like if you're in the lake or a pond or a swimming hole, not a great call for sex because they have like nasty bacteria. And then if you actually have the penetrative intercourse, it can end up in your urethra, your vagina, and then you get a bacteria infection. And then it can also get insects. But I'm not saying you can't make out and you can't fool around, you can't kiss and do some foreplay in the
water. I think that kind of just goes for even being immersed in bodies of water that are still water like being in it, not even having sex
in it. Be careful. Like get out, shower, check for things. Salt water can be cleaner, but that can also sting female genitals, so be careful. Now pools and hot tubs, hit or miss, you guys. I was bummed when I first learned this that hot tubs could be potentially, we don't want to think about it. We're just like, I want to fool around in the hot tub. I know that's a sec. That's why we have hot tubs.
Yeah.
Hot tubs are inherently sexy. Like you see a hot tub and you're like, I want to have sex. Like, don't you just feel sexy when someone has a hot tub?
Absolutely.
Yes. You're like,
it makes them start to move. Instead of a deal breaker, it is like an immediate turn on if somebody has like a hot tub at their apartment building or at their house.
I agree. They're like, want to come back and go in the hot tub? Like, yes is always the answer.
Yes. It's just an extra activity that doesn't make you think about what you have to do. Just
you're not asking me to go to back to your house and have a drink or give you a blowjob. You're saying, let's get in the hot tub, even though it probably means that. The hot tub's amazing.
Reframing it.
But let me just tell you this. If you don't know, every hot tub is hit or miss. You don't know how often they're going to clean it. And then you won't know unless you ask around, like, who's in charge of the hot tub? And that kind of kills the moment. So, you know, the chemicals that are used to clean pools, to clean hot tubs, like chlorine, can be irritants to the vagina. So, you got to be just, like, the shower or your bathtub is the safest bet.
Like one of those spa tubs.
Yeah, get a spa tub.
Those are nice.
With the jets, yeah. Those are amazing. Those are sexy. Get one built for two. I want that in my next home.
You could go swimming with your partner or whoever and, you know, get kind of like start making out and then take it into the jet bathtub.
Take it in the jet bathtub.
What about the jet bathtubs at the hotels? Like, what do we have to be careful about there?
I think you're fine because they clean the tub. The water coming out is going to be fine.
Okay.
Good question.
That is a good question.
Okay. So here's the other thing I want you to know. You can get pregnant or get an STI in water. So I think people think you can't. That's kind of an urban myth. Yes, you can get pregnant in water and from having sex in water if you're with a male partner. The semen doesn't just wash away with the waves. There's not like just semen just going whoosh, we're leaving you. You can also get an STI in water. Chlorine doesn't kill STIs. Unfortunately, they're still myths, but water doesn't like magically like, here's your condom, you're in water.
Yeah.
And also, condoms don't play that well in water. Because condoms can, you know, slip off in water And even though condom manufacturers say they're safe in water, they can wash away the lube or the spermicide. Water can break down. So again, bath, shower, your best bet. But you guys, you can do other things in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Make out, float, touch,
mm-hmm.
all those things.
Yeah, that'd be so fun to explore those other erogenous zones.
Yes.
In a different, you know.
Or put yourself up against the jets.
Yeah. Ooh.
Anyone ever had an orgasm that way when you're privately in a hot tub or with a partner? Have you ever had a partner? Oh, that's hot when they go up behind you and they hold you against the jets. You guys should put that on your summer 2019 bucket list.
The only thing is that the only people I know that have a hot tub are my parents.
What? Are they going on a summer vacation?
They're actually going out of town this weekend, but I don't have anybody.
Well, it's only Wednesday.
It's only Wednesday.
You never know.
Get on those apps, girl.
It's true. I'm just...
Put that you have a jacuzzi in your profile.
Yeah.
Just change it for this weekend. You just decided
that a jacuzzi is hot.
Do you think that, like, waterproof, like, condoms could be, you know, like...
Well, the problem is that they slip off.
Do you think there could be some kind of invention?
Well, okay. So, what it says, like... So, the rules say... that you could try using a condom, you got to put it on before you get in water. Okay. And then you hold it in place. But I just think, what if it slips mm-hmm. off and it breaks down?
Yeah.
So all condoms are pretty much waterproof, they say, but you just got to hold it and it's a whole other thing.
Right.
But again, I think that it's overrated. It's kind of like, well, shower sex doesn't have to be overrated, but because I'm going to tell you some tips for great shower sex, but we often think these things are going to be so great, the mm-hmm. pool, the ocean, and it doesn't mean you can't have a lot of fun frolicking around, but just don't do the old in and out.
Right.
Is all I'm saying.
What water can I do the in and out in?
Shower. Shower.
Oh, okay.
Shower.
Shower and bathtub.
Okay.
Totally fine. The thing is, you want to make sure in the shower that you actually use, that you have to use lube, because we think in all waters, we are wet, so why do we need it? But you actually need more, so use silicone. And then use some shower sex is really fun because you can, well, you want to do some, if it can be tricky because you can slip and fall. So if you're the receiver and you want to, like, you could bend over and grab mm-hmm. your ankles and someone could come at you from behind, so you're like stabilizing, or if you have a bar to hold on to, mm-hmm. so your partner can come at from behind, that can feel great too. And then there's also, you can find this on our website, there's a Sex in the Shower line, yep. by Sport Sheets, and they make a loofah, a loofah sponge with a little tiny water vibrator in it.
Oh, mm-hmm. wow.
It's like so cool. Your partner can suds you up and it vibrates. And then they have like these suction handles that go on the wall. So you actually are sturdy. Because the big thing about shower sex is, yes, you can actually have penetrative sex. It can feel great. But you could fall and slip.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my tips for that. Get some props.
Talking about the loofah, have you bathed a partner first?
Yes.
Because that seems very sexy.
Yeah, bathing your partner when you get in the shower, that's what I do. I don't turn on the vibrator part yet. They don't even know it's a vibrator. And then I'll like suds them up and I wash their body all over and then they can wash me and then you just go. It's like a little tiny bullet vibe. I think we have one here.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn it on and then it's like a powerful vibe. And then you can, you know, I have it in my shower. I use it myself in the morning. I can use it my partner because it feels great on them too. Remember, the massage is just tickling on their back. I mean, their balls. We know it feels good to us.
So my question now about water sex or any of such is, what about lube in water?
Great question. Yeah, you need to use lube in water because we actually get drier in water. So there's more friction. What happens with water is it washes away your natural lubrication.
Mm.
So very quickly you can get dry. And so it's like non-negotiable not to use lube in water because then you get those micro tears. You don't know how dry you are. You're like, we're in the water. We're pounding away. And then you're like, oh no, I'm getting micro tears in my vaginal walls, which could lead to infection. So you have to use a silicone-based lube. I love Pure Original, PJUR. You just basically apply a quarter-size amount of lube to your clitoris. Rub it in. You can put it inside of you as well. But you were not having sex in water. But if you were, that's what you would do. Or you could put right. it. You do a hand job for touching each other. Use silicone lube. Or in the shower, silicone. I have silicone in my shower right now. I leave it in nice. My shower. There you go.
Nice. What about like mutual masturbation?
That's
in
hot.
Water.
Mutual masturbation would be super hot in water. One of my favorite sex tips all around is mutual masturbation. But again, women have to just be careful of what water you're in, getting stuff inside of you. But I think that's better than intercourse, is a little mutual masturbation, because you're wet, you're naked. We talked about all the sensual elements in water, the weightlessness, the just feel of water. Like, and when you're up against someone who's swimming around with your partner, is sexy, sexy. So yeah, then you could just get each other off. If you have like a fantasy about sex outdoors, the thrill of getting caught, which a lot of people do.
Yeah, what is that fantasy called again?
Exhibitionism.
Exhibitionism.
Having sex outdoors can be really fun for people.
It can be.
I know. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your calls. Ah, the bush. It's an evergreen topic around here. I mean, no pun intended. There's trimming, there's shaving, there's waxing, there's even which shapes are in or out. But typically, we're only talking about vulva owners. Well, that ends today, because this one is for all you penis owners out there. And you get to decide how short you want to mow your lawn. I mean, the one truth I've heard is when you make an effort, it's always appreciated. The problem is, men haven't always had the best options in terms of tools to get things under control below the belt. Well, this is where my man comes in. And by man, I mean Manscaped, the number one choice for precision male grooming tools. They even gave it an awesome name, the Lawnmower 2.0. This is a purpose-built electric trimmer with their proprietary skin-safe technology. This is every manscaper's dream. No more snags or nicks on your man parts. And my listeners can get it for 20% off and ship free at manscaped.com with code Emily. There's also the Crop Cleanser Hair and Body Wash, the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and the Crop Reviver that tones and refreshes the skin. Guys, seriously, when you're ready to raise your partner's eyebrows for the right reasons, please check out Manscaped. They've got this whole grooming thing locked down. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Emily at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Emily. All right, let's be real here. You know you should get tested for STIs, but you probably have a bunch of reasons why you don't want to. Maybe you want to keep things private from your regular doctor, or maybe you don't want to wait for a home test kit to ship to you, or maybe you really can't have any of this information showing up in your mailbox. While all those reasons might seem just as scary as the STI itself, they're really not an excuse. Your health and your partner's health is more important. This is what my brilliant friend Shannon realized when she created same-day STD testing. Here's how it works. Using same-day STD testing's website or phone hotline, they will set you up with a same-day appointment at a testing facility in your area. Everything is handled privately. No insurance paperwork, no medical records, nothing mailed to your address. You go for your test, and as soon as the results are in, you can log in to see them on the secure website or speak to one of the same-day STD testing's medical advisors. If there's an issue, they can help you get treated privately as well. No shame, no blame, no judgment. Trust me, I know you've got your reasons for wanting to keep things private. Your sex life is your business, but your health is a priority. You can literally take control today. To schedule your same-day STD test, go to sexwithemily.com/same-day. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/SAMEDAY. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on Sirius XM Radio. You'll find me in Stars Channel 109 Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there.
So we have Stacy, 32 in New York, who sent this email. Hi, Emily. I've only really had two serious sexual partners. I'm not comfortable with casual sex. I tend to get attached and don't want to risk it. Anyway, the last man I was with used to get frustrated that I wasn't relaxing or letting go. He said that I was too tense and that it was like I'm on the verge of an orgasm for a while and then I can lose it or it works. He made me feel like there was something wrong with me. Is there? Is it normal to tense up and contract my muscles to have an orgasm? Or is it this just something I learned early on and need to reprogram? Just so you know, I have been successful at having vaginal orgasms, but again, I need to really tense up. Is it me or him or both?
Okay, Stacey, great question. I'm glad this came up because I have to tell you, this is a common question. There's a lot of women who, that's how we, our initial or our first orgasms that we learn to have, our legs have to be closed and we're tensing up our kegel, which essentially we're tensing our pelvic floor muscles, which are our kegel muscles I always talk about, strengthening our pelvic floor. So that is really common, and he has to understand that that's how it happens with the tensing. That's how many women orgasm. So you are, it's not that you're not relaxed. So you have to understand that many men interpret sex from what they know, their own sexual experience. So they're not tensing, they're releasing, right? And so even though there is a sense of release and orgasm, women do it very differently. Now, to say there's zero wrong with you, now maybe what he's saying is there a way to do it so you're not, like, your legs aren't tensing as much? And certainly there's many paths to orgasm. You could, this would be a great month to experiment other, you know, other ways that you can orgasm. I used to only be able to orgasm that way as well, with like my legs tighter together and clenched. But now I have learned through masturbation, through using different toys and different positions, that I can figure out how to do it with a partner in other ways. So the answer to your question is you don't have to reprogram it, but if you'd love to learn another way, could be fun. But put zero pressure on yourself. Because if that's the only way you do it, this was my job to learn it, you're totally fine. And I think that you need to let your partner know that this is what orgasm is to you, and he can have orgasm in this way, and you guys are going to figure out how to have amazing sex together, and there's nothing wrong with you.
Do you think maybe she's also, when she does that, she gets tense in her face, so that maybe looks like she's...
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that's it.
Because I'm trying to think. I feel that would feel good for him, too.
But maybe she has to put her legs together, or maybe there's a certain, like... I don't know, but I believe that when I, like... tense my kegel muscles, my pelvic floor on a penis, it does typically like, oh, it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe she has to be like, I'm tense, but I'm really happy. Like, right, I tell you, like, when I cry, like, after sex.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we talked about that? Yeah. Sometimes I cry. I've cried after orgasm. We did some press on it, right? Did we talk about this in the show, or was this an article we did?
It was an article that we did.
But like, I do. Sometimes we were like, oh, that's, I don't know. It's like, no, if I cry, I just say, oh, I'm crying, but it's not you. It's just, I'm really happy. It feels good. It's confusing when you cry and laugh and orgasm, all of that's connected. So she could just be like, I'm tense, but I'm happy. I don't know.
Right?
I'm like, tense, just like, but it feels good. It just reminded me of that. Like, don't worry, this really feels good.
Right? Like, I don't know. Cause I was just trying to think of like how that would be like an issue. Just cause, like, again, like, even when I was using the Womanizer Duo, or that's how I was clenching. Like, on the internal part, like,
right.
You know, I was tightening. And the thing is you feel that pressure more,
right?
You know, and that
feels really good.
It does.
So again, this is just, could just be a case of, you know, not having a lot of experience. And I also want to, I'm going to say she's not comfortable with casual sex. I tend to get attached and don't want to risk that. I get that too. But I also want to say that's also something that could be reprogrammed if you're interested. Not for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always just on alert for stories about how we were or how we are, and that sometimes we change.
Okay. Ooh, we have Michelle on the phone, 39, in Missouri, and she wants to know if she should go through with her divorce.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Emily.
How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Thanks. I've been struggling for a while, and I'm not taking it lightly at all. I've been with my wife for 4 years. And to be honest, a lot of it's been a struggle. We're just not always on the same page.
Okay.
I guess. And I guess I'm at that point where I don't know if I can handle it anymore. And I don't know that it's healthy for either of us, our relationship at this point. So very recently, like this weekend, I kind of said, I can't do this anymore. I'm kind of done.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I go back and forth now. And, I mean, I have abandonment issues in my life, so it's hard for me to let go, whether it's good or bad.
Right. Wait, Michelle, tell me about your relationship. So you said you've been together for 4 years?
We've been married for 4 years. We've been married for, or together for 5.5.
Okay. And did you say your wife?
I kind of rushed things.
Did you say wife? You
yes,
said wife. Right? Okay. So...
Yeah.
But have you, okay, so tell me what happened. So have you guys what's going on exactly? Is it a communication thing? Is it a sex thing? Is it, as either one of you, usually someone's, have you changed a lot? Been going through something? Tell me.
A little bit of everything. When we got together, we lived in two different, on the other side of the state she lived. So it was a long distance thing. And it was kind of like, either we move or we break up, because mm-hmm. We didn't want to continue doing the long distance thing. So I feel like we kind of rushed it. She moved here and changed her life and has kind of looked for to fill a hole in that life that she created here.
Right.
And I just can't be everything. Like, she doesn't have a lot of friends here, so I've kind of been like her whole outlet, and
right.
That's a lot.
No, that is. That's a lot. Have you talked to her about this, though, Michelle? Have you guys, like, how far along are you in the process of kind of sorting this out? How's your communication?
Communication can be lacking at times, but we've definitely discussed all these things, and we know where our issues are, per se. We've done therapy. It just comes down to she's not happy, and in turn, like, I feel like I can't make her happy, which I know that your response.
Okay. I know that my response would be right, that you can't make anyone happy. But here's the thing, Michelle, is what I'm curious about is, like, okay, so you were in a long-distance relationship. Those are very interesting, because I like to call them vacation relations, meaning you see each other on the weekends when things are great. You don't really have to get into each other's lives and what, you know, it's like always exciting. You're always looking forward to it. You have always had that natural buildup. You're not with each other every single day. So it's like has that anticipation that we all crave in relationships after a while. So now that you live together, then you find out, oh, maybe we're not so much alike, and maybe, you know, maybe it's not as exciting. And I want to say to you too, I don't want you to take all the responsibility for this, Michelle, because how do you know she was so happy where she was at before? Because typically wherever we go, there we are. I don't want you to take all the responsibility, Michelle.
Yeah, and I try to remind myself of that, because she's never really, she will tell you, and I think that's kind of what put me in this spiral to, I'm never going to be able to make you happy.
Well, right.
But Chris will tell you, I've never been happy. Like, I'm like, when's the last time you were happy? She's like, well, I don't know that I've ever been happy. And I'm like, if you've never been happy, how can I ever live up to... Well,
exactly. Has she ever had therapy? I mean, here's the thing. Has she had therapy on her own? And when you said you had it, did you go 3 times or did you go for a year? Because if you want to make this work, you're going to have to put in the time of a therapist that you both like and you both commit to. Because then you could even figure out a lot sooner if it's meant to be or not. It's really just communication and her realizing that, you know, that it is her responsibility to make friends on her own and to figure out her own happiness. If she needs to see a therapist, start to work out more, do breathing exercises, get on medication, like whatever she has to do. But it's not, no one is in charge of our happiness except for ourselves. And that's a huge fallacy we have in relationships. Like, once I'm with someone, they're going to complete me. They're going to make me happy. No, it's her responsibility. So, you know, but I can see you're taking it on because she moved there to be with you.
Absolutely. And I mean, and that's just the type of person that I am. And that's kind of like why I have to remind myself, you know, that's not all on me, and I can't. And I guess I'm just at that point of like a break of like, I can't make you happy. Therefore, I'm taking some of it in and then thinking, what am I not doing? What am I not enough
at? Right. Right, exactly. So it's kind of like a little codependent. Like, she's never been that happy, but you're always trying to make her happy, and then she'll never be happy, and then you beat yourself up. And so, yeah, and this might be a similar pattern for you, or a similar type of relationship that maybe you've had in your life. And so I think that, like, you know, my mom always says, takes two to tango, so it's probably both of you. There's stuff to work at, so I can't tell you right now if you should get divorced, but what I can tell you is, do the work so you know, like, for the next 2 months, we're going to, like, really try to say the things we think we cannot say. We're going to get a really good therapist, and then we're going to figure it out. Can we move through these things or can't we? So you can make a decision and either stay together or move on with your lives.
Okay, we have Peter, who's 30 in California, and he wants to know how to initiate sex while having kids.
Hey, Peter, that is a great question. You got your hands full.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay. So you want to know, like, how to do it? So what's going on right now? Who initiates?
Well, sure. So, you know, I would say, number one, you know, we're a young couple. So
okay.
Sex was never a problem prior to the kids. I mean, that's not how we made one, right?
Right.
So,
that's how you, yeah.
But it comes down to, you know, it's the initiating, I was listening to you guys earlier, and it's like, hey, you know, just ask and ask why. And then, you know, the typical response is, I'm tired. Or right. I'm not. So how do you do that when you said, hey, well, I liked one idea was, you know, set the bedroom. And it's like, well, we can't really set the bedroom because, right. you know, that's where baby sleeping. And so, like, how do...
Bathroom.
Give me some ideas.
Could you, I'm not kidding.
Like, yeah, but, like, how do I just go up and just start making out? Because, like...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm tired. You know?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so how old are your kids?
She's two.
She's two. Oh, you've one kid. Okay, okay. So you guys have been exhausted, but she's now sleeping, right, through the night in her room?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay, so she goes to bed like 8 or 9, 7. What time do two-year-olds, 7?
Right now it's at 9. Right now it's at 9.
Okay, so whatever it is. Okay, listen. So you guys have your life back a little bit, but it's just starting. Like, I think with kids, like, it's like every few years another transition. And you forget that, like, your relationship, because now you have more time and a little bit more than you had the last 2 years, just a little bit. So I think it's a matter of, you could still set them, or you could just kind of make a date ahead of time. You could say, like, build up. So here's the thing. The anticipation of the sex is what's going to get her more on board with it, too. So you could, like, kind of plan it. Like, do you guys have a date night planned? Do you have a night that you have a babysitter?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Amazing. So you could have a night where you could even get a hotel room. Honestly, I would take her. I mean, you talk about initiating sex or how to have sex in general with being married, with kids, with a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I think getting a hotel room, having your, you know, someone watch the kids. I mean, could you have sex upstairs? Like, I mean, upstairs, like have someone downstairs and you guys go upstairs and have your date, you know, draw her a bath and say, I'm waiting for you upstairs. You can have the babysitter come where you guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, who cares what the, I don't know, people still worry the babysitters are going to judge, but I feel like she is, so there's a lot of different things. And it's also talking to her about, like, she really might be exhausted, but maybe mornings are best for her. So you guys set the alarm or, like, you know, half hour early in the morning.
Yeah.
And
I like that idea.
Yeah. Good. So yeah, do that. And then agree to it so she knows, you know, or maybe you wake up and you're going down on her, or you have your toys laid out, or you have the lube and you have it all ready to go. So that's kind of atmosphere too. Or like you have something that you've talked about, or in the morning, you know, you start, you know, things that you could build towards. Fantasies, toys.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
so welcome.
So it's fun.
Okay, thanks, Peter. You just keep going, right? You never know what's going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, hell no, I'm not waking up earlier in the morning. Like, I can barely, like, no. But Peter's like, yes. There's a lot of different hacks. I like to call them sex hacks.
All right, we have Dan, who's 47 in California. He's got a smoking fetish, but his wife quit smoking.
Ooh, he throws a wrench in it, huh? Hey, Dan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Hey, just had a question. It's like you said, I had the smoking fetish. It's been something I've had for a while. And it's frustrating because my wife doesn't smoke anymore, and I don't want to make her do that.
Right.
And so I'm trying to figure out. I don't even know why I have it, to be honest with you. I don't know. I've never smoked a day in my life, and so I don't know anything about it. I was wondering if you could maybe shed some light on that.
Well, I could let you know. I mean, typically fetishes mean that, like, something happened when you were a kid, and like, you eroticized it. Like, maybe your piano teacher smoked a cigarette, or maybe an older girl in school was smoking, and then it was the first time you had a sexual memory. Usually it coincides with when you're going through puberty. And for many men, that's when their fetishes start. So maybe you remember, like, you saw it in a movie, a woman smoking a cigarette, and at that same moment, your testosterone was racing through your body, and then you just kind of linked that up with smoking.
Okay.
So if that resonates with you, that could be why. But I want it, when I saw your call come up, I was like, oh, well, can't she just get a vape that doesn't have tobacco in it? Would that still not be the same? Like, they even have ones that look like cigarettes, but they don't have tobacco in it.
Oh, that's a good idea. I never thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I was like, oh, I'm just going to take this real quick because he just got to get a vape without, there's like flavored vapes, no tobacco. She'd probably be down with that. Yeah, that's because if you've had this fetish your 47 your whole life, I would say, you know, don't fight the fetish. Just kind of see if she could work with some props.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate that.
Okay, sure. Dan, you're in California too. There's tons of vape stores. So let me know what you find.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the show and for being fans of the show and for sharing the show with a friend and for subscribing. That really helps us because we do release 3 shows a week and it just helps to get your feedback. So let me know, was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I want to tell you about one of the oldest and most trusting relationships in my life. It's probably the only one that's like never really let me down. I'm talking, of course, about the magic wand. I mean, the magic wand was a big part of my life, even before I started the show, and it's not going anywhere in my life or anyone else's. I mean, you want to know why? The magic wand has been delivering pleasure for 50 years. That's a long time, and it's still the best-selling massage wand in the world. I think it has something to do with all that power. I mean, they don't call it the Cadillac of vibrators for nothing. Whoa, it's a good one. And even though it's not easy to improve on something so timeless, they did it again with the latest version called the Magic Wand Plus, and it is awesome. So like the original, the Magic Wand Plus is a full-size plug-in massage wand. It features a soft silicone head, easy-to-use controls, and variable speed that lets you go from a low rumble to OMG with the push of a button. And if you don't have a magic wand in your life, trust me, you should. There are now 3 models to choose from, original, rechargeable, and the all new Plus. You can see them all and get one for yourself at sexwithemily.com/magicwand. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/magicwand.